Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's my privilege to speak from God's word today and to bring a word I want to call faith for your future. Because it's a word that I've been praying about for Pastor Michael and June and that I have on my heart for them. But it's a word for all of us. Faith for your future. It's so important that as we look ahead, whatever season of life we're in, that we think about what the end result is going to be. Where are we going and what are we believing God for? And we're going to pray and send out the Barlings today with a word. It's the best thing we can give them is a word from God, because actually that's eternal and it will come to pass. But it's something, too, that we can join together in receiving for our own personal lives. God's word isn't kind of gender-specific or age-specific. It's for all of those who want to receive it. And I counsel you today to receive the faith that God wants to give you for your future, so that you will have a real faith for what God's plan is for the years ahead. So let's just look at Galatians. We'll start there, Galatians chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. All things work together for good. Amen. Father, we do pray for the Holy Spirit to make this word known to us. We ask for revelation. Amen. Lord, I don't just want to bring a message that people hear and do nothing with or go away and it accomplish nothing. I pray for that anointing to preach, that grace to bring your word, but also for the grace to receive it. I pray for our hearts, Lord, to be wide open to you, to receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save our soul. And so we honor you, Jesus. We honor your word above all things. And we thank you, Lord, that you want to speak into our future so that we can see your plan for our time ahead. And particularly for Pastor Michael and June, we thank you for this word to give hope and faith, so that as they step out and launch out into their future, they can see your plan, your good plan and purpose for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our faith story begins. We all have a faith story. I trust you do. And if you don't yet, God wants you to begin a faith story. Our faith story begins with believing and receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's when the real story begins. You might have a natural story about where you're from, who your parents were, and where they came from, and how many brothers and sisters you had in your family. But actually, I want to speak today about a faith story, which brings about an understanding of what Jesus does in our lives and how knowing him changes the way we live. And in Galatians 2:20, the word of God says, this is the truth about all who believe in Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The word of God tells us that if anyone receives Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is what the Bible terms born again. He becomes a brand new person. Old things have passed away and all things become new. And this scripture, to be crucified with Christ, means that the old you has died in Christ, and the new you lives in Christ. So you have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. Now, you do have a physical body that hasn't died yet. But God is talking about that part of you that was created to know God, your spirit or your heart. And that is where God comes to live in every person who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. He comes to live in them and he puts his spirit in them. And they become a brand new person. And this person has a new nature. The old you is gone. The old you was a sinner. The old you was totally unacceptable to God. The old you was under the power of Satan. The old you was going to hell. The old you couldn't please God. But God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. He rose again from the dead. And now, if you believe and accept Jesus Christ personally, not because you grew up in a Christian family, like June said earlier, but because you acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord and you want to receive him, he will give you a new heart. He will put his nature in you. And his nature is holy. His nature is pure. And you will have a pure heart because of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus and the work of God's Spirit in you. And so the new you begins a faith story. The old person can't have a faith story. But the new you, as soon as you believe in Jesus, begins. You begin a new life, living a new life for Jesus. The life I now live, this scripture says, I live by faith in the Son of God. The only way you can live life as a Christian is by faith. The life I now live, I live by faith. So your current faith story should be you now live by faith. I'm now trusting Jesus, his presence in me, and his word and promises to me. My life isn't now governed by the physical kind of realm of what's going on around me. I'm not governed by what I see around me. I'm not governed by what I think. I live by faith in Jesus and his word. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So before I was a Christian, I lived by what I saw. I saw I had £10 in my purse. So I lived by that. I saw that I had certain amounts of capability. So I lived by that. But now I live by a new order. And I live by faith in Jesus Christ in me, the hope of my life. And I live by faith in his word. I live by faith in his promises. I believe the word of God. I believe every promise. I believe what he says is true. I am not governed by my own thinking, but God's word is true. And his word will always be true. Heaven and earth will pass away. But Jesus said, my word will never pass away. And I want to be somebody who's believing something that will last for eternity. And so the life I now live, I don't live by feelings. It's so important that we understand the Christian life cannot be lived by what I feel. I have days where I don't feel that brilliant. I don't know if you do. I have days where I feel things could be going quite wrong. But I don't live by what I feel, because I know the power of the Christian life is in what I believe. I believe what God says, not what I feel. I believe that God's promises are true and not my experience or what I see happening and going wrong around me. And so the life that we're called to live is living by the unseen. And God himself is spirit. He cannot be seen, but he is real. And we live by faith in what is not yet seen, but we believe his presence is here. We believe that we are new creations. We believe we've been forgiven. We believe he's made us holy. We trust him that we're going to heaven. Our life is now lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So we enter our faith story by faith. And as we heard such a wonderful story this morning through Pastor Michael and June, we continue to live our lives through by faith. And as they look into the future, it's clear they're still living by faith. So faith isn't something just for the young or just for the start of your Christian life. Faith is to be lived all the way through until you go to glory. So we're never going to stop talking about faith because it's the only way you can live your Christian life. Faith is the only way you and I can succeed as believers. Trusting in the Lord and trusting in his word. Now, if I was to give you a scripture, and this is where I'm going to start really about the faith for the future, your faith for your future. There's an amazing scripture in the book of Joshua, which I think if you will see it, you will get very excited about your future. If you will believe it, not just read it, but believe it. We'll turn to Joshua chapter 21. Let's have a look in Joshua chapter 21. Thank you, Jesus. Joshua chapter 21. I want you to just think about your future painted, this picture painted by the word of God in your heart today. And I would like you to replace Israel with your name. So verse 43, if you're a believer, God's people here together. Verse 43, chapter 21 of Joshua. So the Lord gave, I'm going to say Judith. You can say Dora or Dave. So the Lord gave Judith all the land he had sworn to give to her forefathers. Who are my forefathers? They're all of the saints that God gave his word to, written in the word of God. Abraham is my father of faith. Remember, we're in a faith story. Not my natural dad. He gave me a few bits and pieces when he went on, but I get my inheritance from Jesus. And I'm rich in him. Okay? Praise God. So the Lord gave to me all the land. And they took possession of it. And they settled there. So God's people, he says, I gave them all the land. They took possession of it. And they lived in it. They settled in it. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he'd sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Barlings, to the house of Butler, to the house of whoever you are, Kingdom Faith Southwest, failed. Everyone came to pass, was fulfilled. Oh, looks like a happy future. I don't know, anybody grabbing this in your heart today? It does you no good to just hear it. It'll only do you good if you mix it with faith. What does that mean? When I hear this word, I say, yes, Lord, thank you. That's my future. I mix it with faith. You know when you bake a cake? You put flour in. It needs a bit of eggs and milk. It needs mixing in with something else so that it actually works. So the word that you're hearing now will work for you if you mix it with faith. So as I look at this, I see my future or the possibilities for all of us in our future. I don't know why you're not looking happy. Because happy on the inside means happy on their face. The Lord made us like that. He made us to smile. God is now smiling right now. And I am because I believe this. Faith makes you happy. Unbelief makes you miserable. Okay, but so I'm gonna hook up to this for my life. God will give us all the land that he promised, and we will take possession of it and live in it. What does that mean? I'm not just going to have a promise written in the scriptures of what my inheritance is. I'm going to possess it and live in it. That means I'm going to experience what God has promised. It's one thing to have an inheritance, and it's another thing to experience it. Hello? Because if you start to experience your inheritance, you will actually start to enjoy it. Okay? And so God has promised us a rich inheritance and given us a rich inheritance in Christ. But God wants us to live in it. And he also wants to give us rest after we fought the good fight of faith against a few giants. After the fight of faith, we end up with rest from our enemies. There are some enemies you will face. The devil will oppose your life. And Jesus wants you to win with the fight of faith. To use your faith to defeat the enemy. And once you've won those victories, you will come to rest. There's some battles to fight. You know, some of you have had health battles. You fought them and won with a fight of faith. Some of you had battles for your work. You've fought those battles and you've won them. You've had battles for your children to be saved. And you've stood and you've fought that battle and you've won it. There's a fight of faith. And God will give you rest once you have fought the good fight of faith. So we fight the good fight of faith. We come to rest. God gives us in our future rest from all our enemies, deliverance from all our enemies. And not one of all the Lord's good promises will fail. Oh, happy day. Come on. Come on, church. Anybody want this? Anybody want this? In your future? Well, it's already yours, but there is a process. You can't have it all at once. Because there's a process. It is yours, but you possess it by faith. We go from faith to faith. So we go from promise to promise. Right, I got that one. Let's go for the next. You understand? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. So if you're a believer in Christ, every promise that you will ever read, a good promise, you will read in the Word of God is yours. God says, yes, you can have it. Every promise is yes. Yes, you can have it. But you possess it and live in it by faith. Okay, so we really do need to see that our future possibilities are all the promises realized. Amen. I love to think when I go to glory, I don't know, I want to be fit, healthy, strong. And I will be in the name of Jesus. That's the promise. That's the promise of God for my future and yours. I haven't kind of settled on an age. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, but it's got to be over 85, I would imagine. I reckon good age, yeah? So then, at 85, I'll be going, brilliant. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen thousands saved. I've seen churches planted, plural. I've raised many to serve God in my generation. I've seen every personal promise happen. I've seen my family inherit every promise. I've seen what God promises for this nation. I'm going to die really happy because of what happened here and because of where I'm going. It's even better in heaven. But it ain't bad with all the promises on earth. This is a good life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. I'm sorry, but I'm radically happy about what Jesus has done. Oh, she's a bit kind of emotional. Oh, every promise happened. No thing failed. Well, there he said it, he did it. Shall we go now? It's party time. The faith for the future is based on the Word of God. And the Word of God only. And we can base our future on the unchanging, unfailing promises of God. And he who is faithful will do it. Amen. Now, I want to know how. I don't know, you're like me. I want to know how it works. How do we see all these promises happen? How do we get to the end of our days and say, brilliant, that's it. All I was believing for happened. All the promises of God happened. Is that your goal? Anybody want this? I'm going to proactively put my hand up to this one. I want all of the promises to happen in my life. I'm going to go for this. This is the life Jesus died for us to live. So how does it happen? Well, I'm going to look at a person in the Bible called Caleb. Okay? Caleb. A good man. A man under two leaders. He served under two leaders. Caleb grew up, actually his early years were in Egypt, in bondage, in slavery. And Moses, the man of God, was sent by God to Egypt to bring God's people out of slavery, out of Egypt, and to bring them within 3 days into the promised land. A bit like death and resurrection. The old gone and into the brand new life. Yes. And so Caleb, he was in Egypt with all the other Jews, the people of Israel, people of God. And he began to hear about this man who God had sent, whose name was Moses. And Moses would go into Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And because he didn't, there would be these plagues, these signs and wonders that happened. So as a boy growing up and as a young man, Caleb knew the supernatural power of God. That God works wonders. That he is the miracle worker. So he was cultivated in an atmosphere of the supernatural. God, his God definitely wasn't quiet and doing nothing. And God isn't today. Hello? God's healing the sick today. He's showing great signs and wonders. There are people being raised from the dead in China, probably today. All over the world, the same things Jesus did are being repeated today. Jesus is alive, and he shows it with his power. And so Moses kind of trains up this people. They come out of slavery through the supernatural power of God. But Moses was also entrusted to give God's people the word from God. And one of those words, or many of the words that Caleb heard, was about the promised land. And, you know, he's come out of slavery. They've been delivered. They come out supernaturally. They cross the Red Sea. I mean, imagine Caleb was crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. He would have, with all the people, this is supernatural. I walked up to the building here today. And I looked at the stones as I walked past, and I thought, this is supernatural we got this building. This is a sign and wonder. It's a miracle. You might not think, but I know where we've come from. And I knew what we had in the bank. This is a miracle. This is a supernatural sign. And all the people went through the same things. But Caleb, he comes through thinking, oh, God is awesome. And he knows, because of what Moses says. Now, remember, he didn't hear the word, kind of a voice from heaven personally. But Moses was given the word, which we can still read today, and all the promises in there are ours as well. They all belong to us, Old Testament and New. And, you know, he heard Moses preach and talk about this land that was flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. We're going to a good land. We have a good future. God has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. And so Caleb, he comes to the border, and the people of God come to the border of Canaan, the land that God would promise to give them. And this isn't really my main message today, but I want you to know that Caleb was a strong man of faith when he was a 40-year-old. He was about 40 at the borders coming into the land of Canaan. And he believed that he could take the land with the people of God. Now, he was one of the spies that was sent over to see about the land. And when the spies came back, Joshua and Caleb were the only two men who came back with a good report. All the others, the other 10, said, it is a good land, but. Have you ever heard somebody say, the Christian life is good, but. Have you ever said it? It's a good land, but the giants are big. The problems are massive. There's a lot of ground to take. And Caleb said, no, God has promised it. We can do it. We have the word of promise that we can take the land. And so Caleb was a faith man at 40. He had cultivated his faith by meditating on God's promises. And that meant that God's promises were living in him. So when he saw the giants, the promise came out of his heart and says, giants are nothing in comparison to God. Have you ever thought how small the giants were in comparison to the Red Sea? And all the people were there. Most of them, they began to cry and wail because they feared the future. We should have no fear of our futures. There should be no fear of the future for any child of God. Because we've got a good future. A blessed future. Come on. This is what Jesus died to give us. And so everybody started to complain and say, oh, we'll never go in. And of course the Lord was not pleased with them. Because unbelief actually is a sin against God. Faith, God always honors. And it doesn't matter if you're in the minority. God will still bring you into everything you are believing for. It doesn't matter if only a few go in. God says, you will go in, Caleb, because you have followed me wholeheartedly. You've kept the faith. You've stood your ground on what you believe. Now we're going to fast forward 45 years. And now Caleb, having gone through the wilderness with all the people who didn't believe God and they all died, now Joshua, he's under Joshua's leadership, he comes in and starts to take the land with the people of God. It's happy days. This is what he's been believing for years. So turn with me now to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we read more about Caleb, this man of faith who saw every promise come to pass. And I believe that this is really what God is saying over Pastor Michael and June. But he's also saying it over every one of us. Be like Caleb. Live like Caleb. So the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of, this is verse 6, sorry. I am sorry, I don't think I. Caleb son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" One man's faith affects future generations. Come on! Isn't that amazing? Followed me wholeheartedly. It won't just be you that will come into it, your whole children and your children's children. What a promise. So then, this is Caleb speaking still, verse 10. "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved around in the desert. So here I am today." What a future vision. 85 years old, still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Isn't that amazing? Still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I'm still up for it. What an attitude. That's a faith attitude. I'm up for it. Give me territory. I want to take more ground for Jesus. It's an amazing picture, Caleb. I'm still as strong. I'm a vigorous. Verse 12, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Oh. This is towards the end of Caleb's faith story. Towards the end, not the end. And Caleb has helped God's people. They've as a people, they have taken the ground. But he knew that when he was 40, he walked, when he went to spy out the land, on the hills of Hebron. And he believed, because God said it, that everywhere he put his foot, he'd have it. It wasn't a theory to Caleb. It wasn't just a scripture. It was something he believed he would live in. Difference between theory and faith. You will live all your life in theory and get nothing. You live in faith and you'll have it all. You'll possess it. But this is the right season. He's walked through these processes with the Lord. And now the people of God are kind of secured in the land. And it's his turn to go and take Hebron, which he believed belonged to him. He says, I want the hill country. Now, 85-year-olds often don't choose mountains to fight on. Am I right? That's only because we've got a Zimmer frame mentality. That's trying to shape us by what we can do without God. But what can we do with God? No Zimmer here. No limits here. Give me the hill country. Give me the difficult ground. Why? Because of people who have walked by faith from childhood through man of God, 40-year-old, 45, 50, 55, 60, 85. I've got so much faith, I can do more. Amen. I can do more with my faith now than I could do when I was 40. 40 wasn't bad. I could take the land. But now I can go to the hills and take these big giants. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing attitude for the future. And what amazing faith to have for the future. You know, I don't know about you, but there's no way I've seen everything that God has promised. There's just no way I've seen the gifts of the Spirit in the way that I'm believing for. I'm believing for words of knowledge that will cut into somebody's problem and bring about supernatural answers. I'm believing for words of wisdom that will help somebody who's so confused that they will begin to see clearly. I don't know if you've ever read a book called God's Generals. I counsel you to read a book called God's Generals. It's about men and women of faith who did extraordinary things. I think it's time to take the lid off. Like Caleb and say, actually, there's a lot more territory we can take for Jesus. There's a guy called John Alexander Dowie, who would often have people come into his meeting. He went a little bit off the rails at the end. We still honor what he did in God at the beginning, but we can learn from his mistakes as well. But he would have people on deathbeds come in with, apparently there was a cancer that was growing on some person. And he literally, by faith, put his hand in and pulled the cancer out with the roots. Completely healed. We have not yet seen the miracle working power of God in the dimensions that are possible for the Holy Spirit through us. I am not settling. This church is not settling. Pastor Michael and June aren't settling. We're going on for greater conquests. We are not for settling. And if you like settling, there may be a better church somewhere down the road for you. But this is not the settling kind of church. We are moving on to take the land, to see the gifts. Just imagine what you can do. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. That's God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy One. God, the Awesome One. God, who opened the Red Sea. God, who raises the dead. God, who does all things well, lives in every believer. Do you not think there is a lot more things for you to do? Because who lives in you? And so there is a lot more territory to take. There's a lot more of this amazing life in God to experience. Please don't settle. Please don't think this is it. We know we have all things in Christ, but we haven't yet lived in it. It's time for us to live in greater things. It's time for us to see the greater works through our lives and our ministries to Jesus. And so I am sure and certain that the future I'm going for, every promise fulfilled. I'm going for what I read in the book of Acts. The greater works still. In verse, now then, where is it? Chapter 15 and verse, we'll just carry on a little bit more with Caleb and then we'll finish this morning. In verse 13 of chapter 15, in accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave Caleb a portion of Judah, that is Hebron. In verse 14, from Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites. These are the giants. Those are the names. If you want to read them, they're there. Descendants of Anak. And from there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And I can't pronounce these names. I'm so sorry. It's not really normal language for me. Verse 17, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother. Oh, sorry, I missed a bit. Verse 16. Caleb said, I will give my daughter, Asha, in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter, Asha, to him in marriage. One day she came to Othniel. She urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? She replies, do me a special favor. Since you've given me land in the Negev, give me the springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. We read here that Caleb took the land, defeated these three giants. But we also read that he wasn't satisfied with him doing all the faith exploits. And he sort of put this reward out, you can marry my daughter if you conquer some territory. And I just believe Caleb was thinking generationally. He was thinking, I'm not going to do all the faith work around here. I'm going to get the next generation living by faith. I believe that's part of the core. You will have personal giants. You will win territory. But I believe that you will encourage the next generation into great faith exploits. And I also believe that you will be able to bring the grace of God through your example to your children and your grandchildren, but that others will begin to live by faith so that you can entrust the next generations to faith families. Amen. Amen. What a promise. Thing is, you can have it if you've read it. If you want that, it can be yours as well. It doesn't just have to be Pastor Michael's and June's. But don't do everything for the next generation. Get them living by faith. Encourage them by your example and say, do you know what? You can believe God for a job. Yeah. Don't let me pay for everything. You get that giant. Yeah. Conquer that territory and then you can marry my daughter so that I have faith grandchildren. That's a whole future of how we need to be thinking generationally with our faith. Amen. I will finish with Hebrews. Just look with me to Hebrews. Thank you, Jesus. I love to be stirred up by the Spirit into greater things, but I also love to think of the whole church All God's people rising up to take their inheritance, to see every promise realized. I love to see that Caleb spirit, that heart that says, okay, we've lived all these years by faith. I'm definitely not stopping now. I'm going to take more territory for Jesus. It's just this whole mentality is that we are never, ever to stop living by faith and seeing more of what Jesus died for realized. Thank you, Father. May each one of us in this room go on into greater things. It's the cry of my heart that we don't stay the same, but we see more and greater manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We see more and more supernatural power to win the lost. Come on, we rise up with an expectation of greater things. In Hebrews chapter 6 and we're going to read from verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Amen. Pastor Michael and June, if there was ever a scripture that fitted you, that's it. God is not unjust. He will not forget. I love it that the Lord forgets our sins, but he doesn't forget the work and love we show to the saints. He remembers. There's an eternal remembrance. There's a memory of God for eternity for what you've done for us. Isn't that amazing? An eternal inheritance. And it's the same for all of us. He won't forget what you do for the saints. Who are the saints? The called out ones, the church. We're to actually show love and good works towards one another. And God won't forget that. And then it goes on to say, he encourages us, verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope secure or sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Okay, Caleb, you show us today by looking at you. It's faith and patience. There's a season, there's a time. You continue to live by faith, but sometimes there's an endurance, there's a fight, there's enemies to defeat. But you will come into every good promise. You will inherit the promises. But it's through faith and endurance and patience. Don't be a short faith person. I'll believe God for a year. And if it doesn't happen, I'll go and do it myself. Believe God until you see. Continue in faith until you see the promise. When I was a student, actually, at Rothy, Pastor Michael brought a word about endurance, and he called it stickability. Have stickability. And if I could counsel you to have stickability to anything, it would be to God and his word. Stick to what God has said, and don't come off that ground. Just like Caleb, who had this conviction that it would be exactly as God said it would be. The future will be exactly what God said it will be. Pastor Michael used the kind of an analogy or a little kind of ditty. He said, my son, consider the postage stamp. It sticks to it until it gets there. It sticks to the letter until it gets there. And we need to have stickability. Through faith and patience, we will inherit the promises. The promises for our children, for our grandchildren, for the territory we are going to take. The promises that we will see the same works as Jesus. I want to see the same works as Jesus and greater still. That is his promise. It's his word. Let's stick to it until we get there. Through faith and patience. And while we're living this life of faith and endurance, let's continue the legacy that the Barlings have given us to love one another and to continue to do good things for each other, encourage one another, and build up the church so that we can all inherit every good thing that God has promised. Praise the Lord for his word today. Amen. Thank you, Father. Shall we stand together? We're going to pray together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.